You know, God's a God of free will. I listen to manifestations, I think. And I'm thinking that if you ever had a child, mommy, daddy, and you're walking with that child, and that child don't want to hold on to your hand, what's he or she do? Pulls it out of your hand, right, and tries to go their own way. And when we get to be to the place where we walk with God, we don't want to be like that disobedient child. We don't want to pull our hand out of God's hand. Because if he would overstep our will and grab us and hold on to us and say, that's the walk. Now, he does that inside by seed. I understand that. And if we could mess that up, we'd do that too. But he's fixed that for us. But our walk, that's important. In 1965,
That was a good year.
Were you born there, Junior?
She was.
Were you?
68.
Heh! A mere pup. She's, you're a brave soul. There was a TV show that debuted. It was called Lost in Space. I remember watching it as a young boy. Yeah, it was Will Robinson and the robot and Judy and the professor and all this whole thing. But the story was about a group of people who would volunteer to colonize outer space. And they got selected from a few million applicants, and it was the Robinson family. He was a scientist, and his family was to go on this trip to Alpha Centauri to colonize it. And so they took off, and lo and behold, there was a stowaway on the ship, and he kind of messed up the directions. And the ship lost its course, crashed safely on an uncharted planet, and they had no idea where they were. And the rest of the story, from 1965 through 1968, I believe the series ran, was about them trying to find their way back home to Earth. And they were in a different solar system. They were in different star clusters. They didn't know anything. They didn't have any standard to hold on to. They didn't have any true north. They didn't have anything set where they could punch the coordinates into their computer and get back to ground zero. And that's what the whole story was about. What I want to talk to you tonight about is the living word. The living word. And I'd like you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. God is so gracious in his love and his wisdom that he's given us a living word. He's given us a written word. He's given us a true standard. Something that we can go back to time after time after time. Because in our course of life, sometimes we derail. Sometimes we get off course. Sometimes we go a little bit to the right when we should be going a little bit to the left. See, man in and of himself, if he's left to his own means, eventually will wind up screwing things up. You just go through history. And you'll see it time after time after time. The most holy men who start out holy get themselves in trouble when they don't have a standard. You all heard of Jim Jones, right? And that whole drinking the Kool-Aid stuff. Do you know he was an ordained minister? Okay, and at one time his heart was to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. And look where he wound up. Hurting people. Killing people. And you know why that happened? It happened because he neglected the word of God. He neglected the standard of the word. And a lot of people think they're smart. And a lot of people who travel down that path, they all end up in the same predicament. They all end up in the same situation. Messed up, screwed up. Some a little more than others. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? It's the Word of God that's quick. It's the Word of God that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide asunder that which is from the soul and that is from the spirit. The Word here, where it says, for the Word of God, the Word. That word in the Greek is the word logos. L-O-G-O-S. It's logos. The logos of God, the Word of God, is quick. It's quick. The logos, among other things, refers to the written word. If you study the word origin of the word logos, you see you can track it back down to where it talks about logic. And in olden times, they would try to use logic to convince people of an argument. They would try to use logic and facts and documents and introduce them in a court of law to show what was right and what was wrong, and to appeal to the person by logic. That's where that word comes from. It also means the written scriptures. The written scriptures means the spoken word. It means a whole bunch of things. It's hard to take the word logos and pin it down to one meaning. It talks about Jesus Christ as the logos. It talks about the book as the logos. It talks about God as the word, as the logos. Okay? But this word of God is quick. It's quick. And it's the definite article is in the text, and they're both in the genitive. So it's of God. Okay? Of God. In other words, it's from God. It's the word that comes from God. It's God's word as opposed to a false word. As opposed to man's word. That's correct. It's God's word. And you can only know God's word as you know God's will. And you can only know God's will one way. That's from here. This is God's will. God has taken a lot of time and the expense of a lot of men at their very life to give us this word. Now, if you receive revelation, 99% of the time, the revelation will not contradict this word. Okay? There's times when there was revelation given and God went above and beyond his word other than it was written. I'm thinking now of the Passover, that they weren't cleansed. And it said that they had to be cleansed. And he prayed, I think it was Hezekiah. And he said he went other than his word and blessed the people. So there's times that are special, that are exceptions. But that's not the rule. This is why you need to know this book and what's in this book before you can start walking in great depths of revelation. Because the great depth of revelation that you may think you're walking in may not be revelation at all. You see? If you read about the end times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself said, many in that day will say that I'm Christ, and many in that day will do lots of false miracles and lots of false wonders. But I say unto you, I know them not. Signs, miracles, and wonders are God's stamp on genuine ministries. See? Signs, miracles, and wonders validate the Word of God. They endorse the Word of God. They endorse the name of Jesus Christ, that it's powerful and it's true and it's real. But signs, miracles, and wonders outside of the Word can still be performed by devils, by spirits. You have to know the Bible. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick. It's quick. The word quick, it says that the Logos is quick. The word quick means living. It's not a dead word. It's not a day-old word. It's not an old fuddy-duddy book. It's a living word. That's what God says of his word. It's alive. It's living. It's living. Now, you know when something's living, you know what that means. It has life to it. The word living means it has vital power. The word living means it's a fresh word. It's fresh. It's not stale. It's a text. It's a fresh word. It's fresh every day. It's living every day. It's dynamic. It's powerful. The word living means it's active. Do you ever bake bread? You put that stuff called yeast in it. It's active. And you know what it does to the bread? When you mix it in there, a little leaven, and you watch it, it becomes a blob. And then you cook it. It's growing. It's active. It's alive. It says that this word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now think about that. The Logos, the word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What is a two-edged sword in the realm of? But it's in the realm of man. Man makes swords. You understand? It's what man can produce. It's what man can do. But it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it's sharper than anything man can do in and of himself. See, this is what the word testifies of itself. It's sharper. It says that it's able to pierce between soul and spirit. The word of God is able to pierce between soul and spirit. What is coming from a soul of a man? Yes, that's what feeds it. And what's coming from the spirit of a man? You know, you look at it sometimes, you can't tell. You got to have a standard to be able to say what's coming out of his mouth is not what the word says. That's what he might be saying. So at that point in life, he's speaking from his soul. He's not speaking from the spirit of God. But you got to have a standard. Who are you going to use for the standard? Me? You're out of your mind. You already lost before you start. Anyone of you want to be the standard? No, God gave us the standard. You see, and if God gives us a standard, conflict resolution. You know what we do? We don't figure this way and this way. This is the way we figure. God says this, I'll do this. Then the female, God says this, I'll do this. And as we do this, there's no more problem. You understand? We do what he says. We do what he says. And as we do what he says, if we get on this page together, then we're not off on our own little trips. It's so much easier to fix things in life that way. Instead of he said, she said. You sit there and argue all night about that. Because neither one of you could be right. You know, just get on to the word. What does the word say? What does the word say? Well, in order to know what does the word say, you got to know what? You got to know the word, right? What does the word say? That's the question. It's able to pierce between soul and spirit. It says that it's a discerner. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God's a discerner. You know what that means? It means it's quick to judge. That's what the word discerner means. It means it's fit for judging, that word. It means skilled in judging. The word of God is skilled in judging. Not me, not you. What does the word say? This person's over here. I just read, I'm reading a book, and I read where this guy wanted to show his faith. So what he did was he put his hand in a bucket of snakes. Well, the snakes were hungry. And lo and behold, you know where he went? To the hospital. Because he wanted to prove his faith. That was foolish. If he would have read the word of God, he would have known from the word of God, you don't do that. You understand? He would have been taught that already. He would have saw how foolish that was. But he got a word from God. That's the way it worked. He got a word from God. I'm going to give you faith and so you can go and do this. And so he wants to walk out on his faith, you know. And so you know what happens? He didn't die, but he got eaten up. They had to take him to the hospital. That's not a word from God. Well, it might be. Not the good God, right? See, now if you know the word, you understand these sorts of things. The word is fit for judging. This is fit for judging. For judging what's right, for judging what's wrong. Right here. Isn't that wonderful? Listen. I just got rid of a car from hell. Right? 2015 S550 Mercedes twin turbo. When I say car from hell, I mean car from hell. Bambi decided to walk out in front of it while the guy was doing 60 miles an hour. And there's all kinds of stuff in one of those cars. Anyway, make a long story short. Car's done. I'm inspecting it, right? Where's the mileage at on this car? I don't know. And I'm a mechanic. I'm looking at the dash. I'm looking at this. It took us like 15 minutes to figure out how to take it out of park. It's got buttons. What's a button in the Parker car? You know where I had to go to find the mileage? The owner's manual. And then they put this gizmo on the steering wheel that you push the buttons and it changes the display on the dash. Who does that? The master race. That's who does it. I had an owner's manual. And I'm 45 plus years in this business. I had to consult the owner's manual. You understand? Thank God for the owner's manual. Because without the owner's manual, I've been hit and miss, playing all day long. And would have hit it by. And what made it worse is my brother said, "Oh, he was there yesterday when I turned the car on. You know, he must have touched it by accident." Who? How wonderful is God that He would give us an owner's manual to life. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness to a knowledge of Him who's called us to glory and what? Where do you think it's at? Here it is. How wonderful is that? Even a guy 45 plus years in the business got to go to the owner's manual. We got to be able to go to the owner's manual. We need it. I need it. Maybe you don't. Give me your secret. You need it. You see, when you have a written standard, you have a foundation for what is right and what is wrong. And when we need to know what is right and what is wrong, we can always look at the book. Look at 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. Now, some will argue that the word logos in Hebrews 4, verse 12, may refer to the written scripture. Thus, what I said may apply to the written scripture, but it almost can and apply to the spoken scripture, or the preached scripture, or revelation. And they have a right to that argument. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Now listen, you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, period. You are approved unto God in Jesus Christ. You understand? So the study is not so that you can be approved of God. You are already approved. You already have access to Christ. You study so you can show yourself approved as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why you study. You see? See how that contradicts righteousness and grace and mercy of God? He's given you all these things. He's ripped the veil. Jesus made you. We heard in manifestations, you didn't climb up there. I've already seated you there. You understand? You don't study to get there. You don't study so you can be approved. You are approved in Christ. You study so that. The rest of the verse says, as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you want to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why you study. Got it? the word of truth. Word. You know what that word there is? It's the word logos. It's the word of truth. And the Bible instructs us to study the word of truth. Now, in this context, without argument from anybody, the only thing that you can study is this. You understand? Because this contains the words of truth. You study the Bible. You study the word. Now, you may use a concordance. You may use a lexicon. You may use a Greek interlinear or a text. But you are still studying the word. Because we want to be approved. We want to stand approved, rightly dividing that word when we present it. And that comes from study of the word. Because if I'm going to present to you the word, okay, and say, this is what God told me, I need to rightly divide the word of truth so I can be approved of the message I'm giving to you from God. I want God to approve of it. I can't just say here, well, this is what we're going to do, close the book, and then do whatever the hell I want to do. Mm-hmm. It may be right and it may not be right. You understand? But I want to make sure that the message I give you is approved of God. The work that I do is approved of God. Now, I'm not afraid of making mistakes as long as I'm studying the Word and I made a mistake in the Word. Because nobody gets the Word perfect. Okay? And it's in those mistakes that you learn. You learn. So, I'm not telling you to approach the Word haphazardly or sloppy. I'm just saying you can't approach it like, oh, if I make a boo-boo. No. You do the best you can and God will cover and He'll teach you and you'll learn and you just correct it. That's all. But it's this that you're correcting. This, not this. It's the word. It's your understanding of it. Now listen. This verse tells us that there's a possibility that you could wrongly divide the word. Right?
Yep.
Nobody wants to do that, but it happens. Let's face it. Okay, if you've ever taught, you make mistakes, right? The verse tells us that there's a possibility that you could wrongly divide the word. And this is particularly talking about in our study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's how we study. If this possibility exists with a written standard, what do you think could happen with no standard? Right? If there's a chance of me wrongly dividing the word or you wrongly dividing the word, when I have the word and it says, thus saith the Lord, and I read that to you, that's plain and simple. But if there's a chance that I could wrongly divide that, and I have it right in front of me, what do you think happens if you have no standard? What do you think the chances go up of having no standard, of speaking, this is what the Lord said? You think they're a little higher than having something right in front of you that says God is love?
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? I would say they go up quite a bit, don't you? And who's the question? And then if you follow that logic or illogic through to the nth degree, everybody's got a word of God. God warned us about that. He said in Corinthians, every one of you got a psalm. Every one of you got interpretation. Every one of you has got a prophecy. What's going on here? He goes on further and he says, God's not the author of confusion. He goes on further and he says, let everything be done decent and in order. And then his answer to the whole thing, he says, if anybody wants to be stupid about it, let them be stupid. Because he knew he can't change people's minds. And that's just talking about manifestations and what was coming forth out of people's mouth in church. I have a word of the Lord. I have a word from the Lord. And manifestations aren't necessarily from this. They normally back this up. They don't contradict it. You see? But that's what happens. Why? Because you don't have a standard anymore. When you don't have a standard anymore, listen. Are they playing football Sunday?
Yes.
Who plays? Who? Okay. Let's take the rule book away on Sunday. Is that good?
No.
Good if your team's no good, I guess. What was that when the wrestlers were playing football? What was that called? They had their own team. You don't remember that? Yeah, they were pro wrestlers. They had their own team of football. They had a whole two seasons of it or something. That was good football. They'd be body slamming somebody. What happens if you take the rule book away? Or baseball. Or hockey. Jeez, hockey's like a killer sport to start with. Can you imagine them guys fighting? And chaos is right. It's anarchy. It's, you know what it is? It's the book of Judges. You know what it says in the book of Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's the book of Judges all over again. You know why? Because there's no standard. It's what's right in my eyes. And you know what? What's right in my eyes may not be right in God's eyes. That's not a good place to be. The word, the logos, it's quick, it's living, it has vital spiritual power. The word vital means it's crucial. It means it's extremely important and necessary. It means it's indispensable to the survival or continuing effectiveness of something. That's what it means. The Word of God is that. It's vital. It's indispensable to the surviving or the continuing and effectiveness of God's Word. That's what it is. The word vital means it's needed for life. It's required for the continuation of life. It's not a dead word. It's not a day old word. It's an alive, indispensable word. It's a living word. Hebrew says that. It's a living word. Look at Psalm 33, please. I took the time to go into the Septuagint for you that do not have the ability or the desire. And in Psalm 33, verse 4, the Septuagint being the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Psalm 33, 4. "For the word," and that word in the Septuagint is the word logos. It's the word logos. Look at Psalm 107. So it's saying the logos of the word of the Lord is right. You'll like this one. Psalm 107, verse 20. "He sent his word." He sent his logos and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the sayings of anybody." No, according to thy what?
Word.
And guess what that is? It's logos in the Septuagint. You see, that's a standard. Now say, I'm a young man, and I want to be right before the Lord. What do I do to be right before the Lord? Well, those of you that were here a few weeks ago that sat and watched Martin Luther, he was a young man that wanted to be right before the Lord. Now, if other men of God, elders, can give you good advice to be right before the Lord, then the rest of the story of Martin Luther would have ended. But some people tell him to stay on his knees. Some people tell him to scrub the steps and pray. One scene in the movie, he was found on the floor, passed out, knocked out, because he was beating himself, whipping himself, because someone told him that. To be right before the Lord. Abuse yourself. Pray real hard. Do such and such. As a matter of fact, to be right before the Lord to find the peace that he was looking for. One of the guys told him, you got to go study the Bible. That was the worst thing they could have told him. Because it was in that he finally found out. You don't listen to what men say. At that time, they were selling indulgences to be right before the Lord. And if you didn't line up with that whole doctrine of selling indulgences, you were a thorn in their flesh. See, that's what happens when men say things to say, this is what you need to do to be right before the Lord. Well, if it lines up with this, it's okay. It's okay. But if it doesn't, then you're in trouble. And you know why you're in trouble? Because if you get used to listening to that, all right, you have no standard. What are you going to do? You know what you're going to do? This is what you're going to do. You're going to go find somebody else to listen to. Because you want the Word of God. And then when you get beat up by that person, you're going to go find somebody else to listen to. And all along, you'll never have a standard for truth. You'll never see it. You'll never learn the truth that way. Never. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy logos, thy word. Verse 105. Thy logos is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The logos. You understand? You want to know where you're going? You want a direction? You want an atlas for life? You want an owner's manual for life? You want something to illuminate your way? This is here. The word is here. It's given to us. And you need something specific after you've been faithful for this, and you know this, and you put your heart into it, then God will give you whatever else you need this way. Or he'll give it to you from this way, or this way, or this way. You understand? He'll speak it to you. And we want that too. We don't want to just be goops that are like, rah, 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 rah. No. We want to be seasoned in the Word, tethered to the Word, study the Word of God, and we want to be walking and expecting to walk daily in revelation with God. That's what we want. We just don't want to depend on the Word, because in depending on the Word, there's no chance of a personal relationship with the Father. There's no chance of a personal, daily, day-by-day, 20th century, what-do-I-do-now relationship with the Father. There's no chance of him saying, turn right up here, because that's not in here. Okay? There's no chance of saying, go around the bees and don't worry about them, because that's not in here. You understand? And we want that relationship. Well, we don't want that relationship at the expense of throwing this out so that we can say, oh, whatever you want to do is fine with me. No. And, you know, it's tragic, but you got a lot of people doing that stuff today. I got a word of the Lord. I got a word from the Lord. And you know, some of the words they get from the Lord, they ain't from the Lord. They're just stupidity. Might be from them. I'm not being mean, and I don't want to be mean. I'm just telling you, that stuff's scary. You don't want to do that. You want to expect revelation. You want to expect it. You want to get up. As a matter of fact, you want to leave here tonight expecting God to talk to you, expecting him to show you things, expecting him to fellowship with you and guide you. Okay? But you don't want that at this cost. You want this, and you want the other thing too. You want both, and God will give you both. And then when you get revelation, you'll know if it's revelation for the most part, because it generally 99.9% of the time won't contradict the Word. I told you stories many times. Many times. If I knew this Bible, and so-and-so came up to me when I was a young Christian, said, my wife is getting on my back, what do I do? I said, oh, just take a break. It'll cool down, and after a month, come back to fellowship. Never came back to fellowship. You know, when in the book of Acts, when the going got tough, you know what they did? They dug in. They prayed unto the Lord. And they said, give us more boldness that we could speak the name of thy holy child. They took them, and they beat them, and they threatened them. They came out, they prayed for more boldness. We want to be beat again. They didn't say, take a break. go away. But see, I was a young Christian, and I had a word from the Lord. Really, I had a word, all right. And that word that I gave that person got them all out of the soup. But what happened spiritually was this. The devil's spirit thumbed its nose at me and pulled the person away, and the person never came back to fellowship since then. That wasn't a word of the Lord, okay? That was a word of Nick, who was zealous for the Lord, whose heart went out to the person who was getting all this pressure from their wife. And I figure, oh, let's alleviate the pressure. She'll go away in a month. He'll come back. Everything will be fine. Now, that's good logic if you want to think logical, right? But that's not what God wanted. How do I know that? Well, look at the result. If that was of God, what would have happened? 1 month later, with his wife, right? Wasn't of God. See, that's how dangerous it gets. And trust me, my heart was pure. I was wrong, but I was only wanting to help. You know? And when you get somebody comes, tells you that, or she threatened to divorce me, and they're making my life miserable, and such, and that, your heart goes out to them. And when you don't know anything, you just want to help. So you get a word. And really, the thought just came to me like that. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this is the answer. God gave me the answer. It wasn't God. If it was, it wasn't the right God. And I was sincere, and I was loving, and I thought it all through, and you know what? It just blew up. Had I known the Bible, had I known the book of Acts, I didn't even have to go far into the book of Acts, like into the fourth chapter only, right? I would have known that when persecution ariseth because of this, you stay put. You shore that person up. You encourage them. Say, I'll help you get through this together. But we don't turn our back on God because he's our life. He's our strength. See, I'd preach a different sermon today if someone comes at me with that. I'll tell them something different because I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. The word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. The logos. You know, if I want to do something right, I got to check it with the word. Or check it with the word that I know in my mind. I have the Bible in my mind, I already know. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Listen to this one. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's the logos of truth. And it's called the gospel of your salvation. Now, I'll tell you how screwed up that gets. Because the logos of truth, right here, specifically talking about the gospel of salvation, the gospel pertaining to Christ about salvation, it's in here. Okay? You can go to a lot of modern churches today, and the pastor does not have the ability to present the gospel of salvation. That's the truth. That's the truth. They'll give you a word, okay? But they won't give you the logos of truth regarding salvation. I just read a book, or reading a book, about a guy who was a minister. Had a congregation, had a church. He was like, whatever, 8-9 years into it. Had to go to a meeting and got born again at the meeting. Came back and then he was able to teach his church. But he was like 8 years into his ministry. Sold his life out to God. And wasn't born again. So if what was he teaching that congregation those 8 years? It's the word of truth. It's the logos of truth. You have to know this. 2 Corinthians 2:17, we're not as many as corrupt the logos of truth, or the logos of God. People corrupt the word of God. They corrupt it. They water it down. They milk it out. They add a word, delete a word. They do all kinds of wonderful things to the Word of God. That's corrupting the Word. And you know what? You don't know if I'm corrupting the Word. Because you don't have a Bible to check me out. The Roman Catholic Church has got to be one of the biggest offenders of this. And I haven't been to one of their services in a long time, but I don't think they bring Bibles to the Roman Catholic Church. I don't think the priest stands up there and says, take your Bible. People be looking in the pew like this. Who's this guy? Right? Because they just say whatever. They might read a text, and then they go off on their sermon. Well, you don't know that what that guy's telling you is right or wrong or indifferent, according to the rest of the scriptures. You can't have that. You have to have the truth, and people have to know the truth, and you have to make the truth your own. And there's so many good translations and translations out there that you can learn enough of the God's word to know what the truth is if you want on a subject. You can see it. Galatians says, let him who is taught in the Logos communicate with him that teaches him all good things. Let him who is taught, the Bible teaches you that you should give. The Logos. It teaches you that you should give, communicate back. How are you going to know that? Because somebody says it? Well, that's nice, but the Bible teaches it. Now, in closing, let's take this a little further. Matthew 24:36. This is what it says. But of the day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father, what? That's what the Logos says. That's what the Bible says, okay? Do you know how many people I hear of every year that sets the day, time, and hour to return to Christ? Because they got, listen, they got a word from God. They got a word from God. Okay, well, if you know the Bible, and as soon as you hear somebody saying that, you know that that's wrong. That's why you need a standard. If you don't know the Bible and you follow men, and men can be exciting, men can be charismatic, men can be like, wow. But all of that doesn't make them right. That's why you have to know the word. Because if you're going to follow men, then follow men. But if you're going to follow what the word says, you know that that man's, he made a mistake. Or he's just lying intentionally. He's just dumb. One of the three. Ecclesiastes 9:5 says, the living are conscious that death will come. Bible in Basic English. The living are aware. They're conscious that sooner or later, if the Lord tarries in our time, death will come. But the dead are not conscious of anything. They're not conscious of anything. And they no longer have a reward because there's no memory of them. Verse 6 says, and their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever. Very specific. Any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. That is done under the sun. Okay. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Logos says. The written scriptures. The dead are dead. Well, no, because, you know, I got revelation from my uncle, or such and such, or such. Well, what does the scripture say? See? So just because you got a word contrary to the scripture, you know what that tells me? That tells me you're in trouble. But if you don't know the scripture, or if you don't want to acknowledge the scripture, you don't even have the ability to recognize you're in trouble anymore. Because for you, there is no standard. You have just become the standard. You know what that's called in my book? In God's book? Idolatry. Let me give you one more. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And I'm simply trying to illustrate to you how important this is. That when somebody comes along and says, I got a word from the Lord, it contradicts this, you can say, I don't think so. Or you can say, oh yes, my brother, speak on. 1 Timothy 3:12. Let the deacons be the husband of how many wives?
One.
One. approaching 30 years, one wife, ruling their children and their house as well. Now, how much is in there? Right? So, in this day and time, if a guy's going to be married, how many wives should he have?
One.
Should have one. And he should take care of his kids, have his kids under subjection, right? Corinthians backs this up. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Her own husband. You know what the word own is? Idios. One's own. That's what it is. Look it up. You don't believe me. It's idios for the woman. Okay, so that's what the scriptures say, right? So we got a bird three states from here who's a minister, and he decides that he's going to be married to the Church of Christ. True story. So he takes his wedding ring off and he puts it in the abundant sharing and says, I'm giving my life to you in service to the church. And he's married. And he does this in front of his wife. And then what he does is he picks out a dozen or so nice plump women to have sex with. Yeah, because he's married to the Church of Christ. But the problem is, you know, nobody took the word and said, well, the word this, what? No, because they're listening to the word that's coming to the minister now. Okay? And he was way core trained. And they're listening to the word that comes to the minister now. The problem is, the state that he was doing that wrong in, it's illegal to do that. And now he's spending 30 or 40 years in prison because he's got the word from the Lord. See how twisted and perverted it gets? You understand? Way Corps trained. No offense about you who are in the Way Corps that are good. No, seriously. And so what happens? You know why? Because he had a word from God. And you know when he did that at that campfire meeting, you know what the congregation did? They fell down, they worshiped him. And they said, oh, isn't he spiritual? He's given his whole life to the church. Oh, what commitment, what love. What a bunch of BS. But not to them. Because you know why? They got used to looking at this person. This person had become Christ to them. This person had become their Lord. This person could do no wrong. And at that point, natural man had more common sense than the church and saw that he was doing wrong. And the church was blind. How do you blind a church? There's only one way. Spirits. Spirits. For me to share this with you is needful. So you don't get yourself in a dangerous position. And for me to be held to this standard is also needful. See? Because if I get off and you start hearing me say, I got a word from the Lord here, and a word from the Lord here, and a word, and it starts doing this, you want to know what? You better become talking to me if you love me. You're not going to, praise God that you won't see that. And I have enough brain to stay put on the word. Okay, let's close in Psalm 119. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what the word all means? It means all. We're weak. We're frail. We're sinners. We fail. We need the grace of God. We need God's mercy. We need the love of God to overlook all our shortcomings. There's nobody that knows. The only one that was knows and was any good was Jesus Christ. Okay? When you're honest about it. We're all a bunch of deadheads in our own little ways. We all got our goofy quirks. Except for Miss Mary. She's beautiful. And she's in green. Verse 160. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is what?
True.
Thy logos is the Septuagint. Thy word is true. From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure what?
Forever.
You see it? So, in closing, I want to exhort you to expect God to give you revelation. I want to exhort you to seek guidance from the Father, to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, and to expect Him to teach you and direct you and guide you every day, and more and more and more. And in that exhortation, that comes on the foundation of this. Learn to love the Word of God. Learn to read the Word of God. Learn to know the Word of God. So you know if your religious pursuits and adventures are in line with God. And when they're not in line with God, this corrects you. When you read, you're only supposed to have one wife? Uh-oh. When you read the dead are dead? No, not in a good way. Honey, if you could see the looks he's giving you behind your back. Just saying, you may want to talk about that later. When you read the dead are dead, right? And Jacob Marley appears to you this Christmas Eve. You know who that is? That's a ghost of Christmas past. Yes. From the Scrooge. He ain't real. He ain't from God, okay? You can be sure that ain't a word from God, from the true God anyway. The dead are dead. You know, they're at peace. Let them rest. You live a long time on this earth. You want to know something, the Lord don't come back. You want to rest. Mm-hmm. After a while. You get tired. I get tired at my young age. Sometimes. Because death for the believer is sleep. And the next thing you know, Jesus waking you up. Oh, it's time to get up, Lord. Yeah, come on. We're going for a ride. See? So, expect God to teach you. Seek after that. But seek after it on the foundation of this, okay? Be sensible. God wants you to have both. Don't throw one away so you can have the other. It doesn't work like that. Amen? Amen.